I did watch The Passion of the Christ when it first came out 20 years ago. I have seen it a couple of times since, but I don't think I would watch it again. And The Passion, of course, came with a content warning, and it's really appropriate that, you know, even when we listen to the gospel, we probably should have a warning to say, reading this contains strong adult themes and strong violence. When I did my 30-day retreat some years ago, my spiritual director for the retreat took me through the Gospel of Mark over that month. And so for a week, I read the Passion in the Gospel of Mark. What really struck me was the violence. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, you get those beautiful sayings of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, you get those wonderful exchanges between Jesus, Mary, and John. But in Mark, the violence is quite unrelenting. I counted 40 different words of violence, of hatred, of dysfunction that is present in those few pages. So to enter into the Passion is a confronting experience. And I think we need to do it with great tenderness for ourselves and for all of the reality that we see in those pages. All the sense of that violence and that hatred and that betrayal and that confusion. And I think it's perhaps helpful just to pause on two of the characters. We don't know much about either Judas or Peter, but both of them feature prominently in these scenes, Judas especially, both in the supper and in the garden. We don't know the motivations. There's been so much speculation about why Judas betrayed Jesus. What was he hoping for? What was his end plan? What was the thing that he thought would happen as a result of that betrayal? Perhaps he imagined that it would provoke Jesus, that it would bring about that military uprising. Perhaps that was his sense. Or perhaps it was just something that seemed to make sense in his head, and he never actually began to think about how that might play out, what that would look like when he actually went up to Jesus in the garden, greeted him with a kiss, the betrayal of a kiss. But the thing about Judas is there is no redemption. There is no hope. Judas leaves that whole situation and ultimately goes and takes his own life because he's so overwhelmed by the shame. But we've all seen a little hint of Judas in our own lives. We all know that reality. We've all tasted what it's like to betray a friend. To do something that perhaps seemed okay at the time, but in the moment we suddenly realize that, no, I should never have done that. That is not something that was about my character. But then we look at Peter. And for all of the awful reality of what Peter did, for all the ways that he denied him, it breaks my heart every time I hear that cry, that shout, that I do not even know the man that you are talking about. Because again, I felt that. I felt that in my own life so many times when I've made another promise to God. When I said that I will turn away from that area of sin and I will never allow that to touch and shape my life ever again. And then it does. And then I deny him. And then in that denial, there is a betrayal. It's not recorded here in the Gospel of Mark, but in Luke, we're told that at that moment when Peter had denied Jesus the third time, that at that moment, Jesus searches for him and looks him in the eye. And there is this exchange of love that happens when Jesus catches the eye of Peter. And there is that transformation that happens. That in that moment, Peter knows that his denial will not end in death. His denial will not be the final word. Where is Peter at that moment? He's gathered around a charcoal fire. There's only two references to a charcoal fire in the whole of the New Testament. There, in the courtyard, in the garden, where Peter is warming himself by that fire and where he denies Jesus. And at the end of the Gospel of John, when there by the shore of the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus is already cooking the fish that he's caught, already has the bread that he's baked, and there he prepares the breakfast for the disciples who are there in the boat, who've just caught that miraculous catch of fish. And as they make their way to the shore, when they see the fire that Jesus is now warming himself by, and Jesus takes Peter aside. And in that threefold denial, Peter is given the chance for that threefold redemption. Wherever we are, whatever we've done, when we encounter the Lord in the Passion, we encounter him in the reality of that love. We encounter him in the reality of a love that will not say no. The love that is always making himself available to us. The love that even in our worst moment, even in our deepest despair, even in our moment of denial and betrayal, even in our worst dysfunction, our worst turning away from God, that Jesus is still there calling and inviting us back into life. So let's indeed make space over these days just to rest, to receive his love, to surrender. As the second reading says, that Jesus emptied himself, kenosis. He poured himself out in order to be brought into that glory that was his destiny from the very beginning. So let us also do that same emptying, that same surrender, that same letting go of all of our junk in order that we make space for God to do his work among us.